and he preaches loud. Thank my daddy for that. If you will, be turning your Bibles to John 15. John 15. This will be the longest reading that we'll be doing at this time. John 15, from verse 1 through 27. Then I will try to get into the meat of the service. Beat up again, I read it. John 15, verse 1. Reading from the New King James Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. You who abides in me and I in him beareth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But this, my Father, is glorified. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will be my disciple. So you will be my disciple. Love you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I bear from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep your words, keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hate me, both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. have a book here called Muscle and the Shell. And ever when Sister Vicki brought it to me and Linda's attention a few weeks ago when she first got here, she asked us, have you ever heard or read The Muscle and the Shovel? Never heard of it. But when I got to, I'm not what you call an avid reader. I don't like to read what I need to read. Some people are avid readers, they read a lot. Not me. But when I got to reading this book, and the more I got into it, I only got about a third away until I go back. In this book, we're going to summarize a young man. I live about 10 years apart. One was about 20 years old, another was about in his 30s. We know in the past 20, 25 or 30 years, I noticed some of the well-meaning denominations church now call themselves the body of Christ. Before then, they stood on their own each creed, their manual, or whatever else they had. And one of the things that they would go to would be John 15, 1 through 7, 27. Now, the guy that wrote this book is Michael Shank. And he wrote this book about his conversion to the church. Now, I use the one true church. Well, it says church had a conversion to the one true church. Now, Michael Falk Randall is the person, this. Put it there and get it. Michael is a white guy, a young white guy. Arrogant probably, ambitious. And Randall was a black guy. He worked in this shipping and receiving. And somehow along the story here, we'll go. In the conversion of the young newlywed, there was Michael and his wife. His wife's name was Jonetta, if I'm pronouncing that right. They was from a small town in the southern part of Illinois. So he heard about Nashville, and this company he worked for was called, I think it was OSI Solution. So he was a technical engineer or something, we call him IT. He did the troubleshooting of the computers for about 17 hospitals around Nashville. So Michael was very ambitious. He brought out to the attention to one. He wanted his American dream. He broke it down in part of the first part of the book. Then somewhere along the line, he met Randall. Randall was in shipping and handling, shipping and receiving. So along the line, Randall made friend with Michael. I read some of it. When you read this book, it is thought-provoking. Now, Linda and I have bought 5 copies back there. We out of our own pocket here. So you want it, you can go back there and read in 5 of them. But then there's also a workbook. Linda ordered that so you can have it in class, work study guide. And so if you want that, I was going to talk to Kent and see if y'all next workbook section, you might want to have this book and use it for a class. Now Randall Edge is a young man named about 30 years old. He's the one befriended Michael along the line. Now, he used the old King James Version. Now, this was back in about 1987. It was around August 1987. Then Michael, eventually him and his wife, obeyed the gospel along with his friend Larry around March 1988. So it's been about 29 years ago now since Randall should be right around in his early 60s. Michael should be around in his early 50, around 50. So it's been 20, 29, 30 years ago when this happened. But like I say, Randall used the old King James Version. If you read in this book, it's scripture on scriptures on scripture, how he did his conversion. He was a well-rounded young man. He had known the scriptures. He knew how to use them. Michael never shook Randall's confidence. Never. Randall never got upset. Never showed an upset word. He just used the word of God. He just used the scripture. Every time Michael would try to evade it with something, He would go home and study. Michael was a zealous. He didn't want to be wrong. You understand? He, the guy, did not want to be wrong. So he, when he got one, I think in chapter 37, 36, he said he used the word dug, dig. I can't understand. Why was he using the word shovel? You dig. You kept digging for the truth. And Michael kept digging for the truth. But he didn't want to dig for error. Then he wanted to dig and see if Randall was wrong. Every time Randall come back, he used the scriptures. Refuted everything in a loving way to Michael. And later on, if they become friends, Randall would call Michael Mr. Mike. All the way through the writing, it was Mr. Mike. He had learned respect. He came, that's what he called him. Every time, Mr. Mike. Now, when we read this book, Muscle and a Shovel made us reflect on our own action. What we should be doing as a Christian. Can we have the fortitude like Randall? Sometimes, I can remember sometimes when people are going to quote the scripture wrong, I want to pile on top of them. That's not the attitude we should have as Christians. We shall keep the one to correct them. Let God's word do the correction. God's word would do the correction. That's what Randall did. Every time Michael would come back with something, Michael was so strong-headed. He not only went to his Baptist pastor. Now, that's a scripture we're reading. We're talking about the sinner's prayer. That was written in chapter 39 of this book. It has 386 pages in this book. 427 of them. 20 of them, 29 of them are notes. But he put notes back in that book so people can write and make notes as they read the book. 386 of them consist of the whole story. Find out this is the 9th edition. I was talking to Sam back there. She had written something called The Muscle and the Difference. It's a different version, but it was somebody else that he dealt with, somebody in Dallas, that a friend of his was about to commit suicide. This is after Randall, Michael and his wife and his friend Larry obeyed the gospel. Michael was like Paul. He turned 180 degrees. 180 degrees doing what God would want him to do. I don't know what Michael's doing today. I know that he had written this book during the lifetime that he was dealing with Randall. He said an unexpected friend. It came a great friendship between those two. Michael. He went to his Baptist preacher. He was talking about Ephesians 2:8, where he said, by grace we are saved. Randall went along and pointed out the rest of the scripture to Michael. Well, all Michael had understood was by grace you are saved. He will save faith only. That's what he did. So he went to his preacher, his pastor. He wasn't satisfied with that. He thought, oh, now I can get him. Because he said, I need an expert. When Randall would take him to the scriptures, read it. We won't get into all that. That book, if it doesn't cause you to want to do like God wants us to do, what we probably should be doing. We have a little lack of that tendency. But anyway, Michael went on. He said, I want to teach him about the church. We know about he went to Matthew 16:13-14. When Christ came up on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked, who men say that I am? Some say that I'm John the Baptist, one of the greater, one of the prophets. These are scriptures that Randall was given to Michael. And then he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. My church. Anyway, Michael captured a brilliant picture of what Christians should be doing, teaching the gospel, as was commissioned by the apostle. This book is about Michael Shank and Randall, but it's about Michael Shank. 20-year-old software troubleshooter, his wife, and Randall Edge. a Christian who was working in the loading dock, as we said earlier. I kind of went over that, got ahead of myself. But anyway, Michael, after he showed himself friendly towards others, he was like that. Not Michael, Randall, get them mixed up. Randall. But anyway, Randall, one day he offered Michael a donut. Guess what kind of donuts they were? Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme. Oh, you go to South Carolina someplace there, and further west down the south, you see a lot of Krispy Kreme donuts. And those things, they are addicting if you eat them. You don't want to eat a lot of Krispy Kreme because you can start putting on the other way. But they are. But anyway, he gave him that. But he told Michael, he said, but I'm going to give you something better later on. Michael didn't know what he was talking about. Talking about getting the Bible study with Michael. He had found a good ground. So often we look for good ground. So often, but he found a good ground. Took him 7 months. 7 months for conversion. Sometimes it takes longer than that for people. But Michael was a person that he just won't be deterred. He went also on some of the scriptures that Randall gave him. He went also to the Presbyterian preacher, the Lutheran. None of them couldn't give the answer. They said, oh, now I got him. Randall gave him another scripture. He's coming, now I got him. But he didn't. Now, one way we can befriend our brothers, befriend the world. Proverbs 18:24 said, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. That's what Randall did. Showed himself friendly to Michael. Not only probably Michael, but everybody. Most everybody knew him. Anyway, that's what Proverbs said. A man had friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Introduce yourself to someone. On your job, new neighbors at the grocery store. Take advantage. These sound like simple things, don't they? Simple, everyday things that we do. But we don't think about it. I see a guy with his Bible open. I go there and try to talk to him. So what are you reading? I think about Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, how can I accept man? Do you know what you're reading? How can I accept man God? To have him understand what he was reading in Isaiah 53. Well, that's what we should be, befriending our people. Neighbors, take advantage of every opportunity. In the Muslim Observer, Randall is described as upbeat, encouraging, meek, respectful, smiling, working consistently, above and beyond the pace, full of Christian love and God's grace. Mike noticed that there was something different about him. Randall went up to Mike and asked, hey man, what's your name? Randall was confident and bold and didn't flare. Then he went over to Ephesians 3:2. He said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him, Christ Jesus. Randall knew the word. Mike recognized that fact. He stated that he knew the Bible like no one else had ever met before. He had more knowledge than any pastor he had ever known. Then, Paul can reiterate that in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving, thankfulness in your heart to God. Randall knew the word. The next time they saw each other, Randall asked him, how many times had you eaten today? Listen to this. Mike told him, 3 times so far. Randall responded, how many times did you eat of the spiritual food today? Mike replied that he was starving to death. He was starving to death of spiritual food, not the physical food. Are we starving to death for the spiritual food? That's what we all should be doing. Day in, day out. Kent mentioned we should teach our kids the time they raise up. When I take Zachary to school, I know I get on his nerves sometimes. I tell him, you read your scripture. You read it at night, go to bed. We have a nightly Bible study at that house, every night, at our house, night, 7 days a week. We dead grown now, he's almost 19, our daughter Rebecca get on the phone with us. We have all that. We have memory verses. How would people know that we are Jesus' disciples? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you not know, Randall asked him after this, do you not know that Christ is coming back? Randall asked Mike. When is he coming back? Randall, Mike replied. And we turn to Matthew 24:36. Matthew 24:36. And Randall read, but about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angel in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. 2 Thessalonians 1:6-10. Since indeed God considered it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who afflict as well as us, when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and of those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled among all who have believed because of our testimony to you was believed. Another question, Randall. With Boland, he's asked, have you obeyed the gospel of our Lord? He asked Mike. Mike, like a lot of people, didn't know what that meant. Mike replied that he was saved. Randall, next question. How were you saved? He thought he was because when he was 8 years old, he went to a revival at a Baptist church. And the preacher asked, who wants to go to heaven? He raised his hand because he was afraid to go to hell. The preacher told everyone with their hands up to come down front. He said his third grade teacher was there. And she came over to him, told him to get down on his knees with her. She told him he had to admit that he was a sinner and needed God's forgiveness. She told him to repeat the sinner's prayer with her and ask Jesus to come into his life and to save him from his sins. She told him all his sins were forgiven and he was saved. Mr. Mike, Randall said, were you ever baptized? Mike replied, yeah, when I was 13. Why did you get baptized? Randall asked. Mike had to think about it for a moment. He answered, was that? It was an outward showing of inward change. So according to Mike, he was saved before he got baptized. Randall told him that saying the sinner's prayer isn't obeying the gospel. And there is no example in the Bible on anyone being saved that way. Christ is coming back to take advantage of those who have not obeyed the gospel. The Great Commission is as follows. There is no mention of a sinner's prayer. Not symbolic baptism as an outward showing of an inward change. Then he went over to Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Then he went over to Matthew 28:18. When Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the ages. People need to know what the gospel is and how to obey the gospel. Randall then asked Mike, don't you want to know what the gospel is and how to obey? The engagement of Mike in a Bible study, committed day and time. They had day and time when they had this Bible study. Like Mike, many people are deceived but have a good and honest heart where seed can be planted. Mike told his best friend that he had a Bible study with Randall. Oh, the Monday after Thanksgiving, Kirk, that's what he called Kirk, not Captain Kirk, Kirk, said the alpha male at the office said, hey, Mike, better stay away from that dude. His church think they are the only one going to heaven. How many times have we heard that statement? Mike thought, people who believe that were nuts. No one has a monopoly on heaven. Then he was mad. He was mad. Mike was mad. He went to find Randall to get him out, get himself out of the Bible class. Didn't work too well. Randall went to Luke 8 and 5. He said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. Also, you can find this in references in Mark 4 and 3 and also Matthew 13 and 3. Sometimes we are always going to find fertile ground. But we have to be the sower. We have the truth. And we are to command it to sow it. And we'll fall wherever. Don't stop. Be a doer of the word. Randall was sowing the seed, as we are. Then he went to James 1:22. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes his way, and immediately forget what kind of man he was. But the one who looked intently into the perfect law of freedom and preserve it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good work, this person will be blessed in what he does. Randall was a doer of the word. Mike then stormed off the ship and receiving to give Randall a piece of his mind. He told him that Kirk told me, you think you're the only one going to heaven. He admittedly, verbally, sucker punched Randall. Randall turned around and was ready. 1 Peter 3:15. But honor the Messiah as Lord in your heart. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. We're running out of time. He told Mike he wasn't his judge, that Christ is the judge. And the Bible does say that Jesus bought his church with his own blood. You ever read this tract, The One True Church, by Brother James R. Cope? It's almost, if you could put almost side to side when Randall was teaching Michael the truth. He's using the scriptures there and he's using the word of church.